Streets is done.
Streets is done. Streets is done.
Yeah, yeah. Gang, back in the stool.
Gang, 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 gang,
yeah.
Gang.
Gang, back in the stool.
Gang.
Young nigga, win, 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 win.
Bitch.
How can I lose? How can
this
I lose?
Podcast, we are back.
How can I lose?
Building, it's been a minute. It's been a long time. It's your boy Marcus Aries, repping Aries Online, your favorite podcast. But I'm back with my niggas, man. It's been a minute. It's been a minute since we last did this.
Like,
how are y'all? Shit.
Nah, we cozy, bro. We cozy. Miss the niggas.
Yeah.
See, niggas are growing, even. Yeah. I even grew a beard out here.
Why are you lying?
Why are you
And what's this thing about people growing? They didn't grow taller. Like.
Yeah, you didn't grow taller. I did.
Didn't even niggas agree and mention
yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's been a minute. But like, since we recorded this podcast, a lot of music has dropped, niggas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, we've been blessed over the past year and a half.
Yeah, it's been a year.
It's been a year, yeah. We've been blessed. Miles dropped.
Oof.
Wasn't it like, it was around the time Pop Smoke passed, somewhere
there. Yeah, around there.
Around that time.
So, since then, we've been blessed with a lot of music, SA music specifically. Yeah. Like, that's what I've mostly been jamming. And like, lately, I can say, like, Reese's album is the one that's just been at the top of my mind. Like, a few weeks ago, we got, like, a drop by Tyson ST.
Mm-hmm.
And I gotta say, like, that shit was, like, for me,
bang.
Not a bad.
Yeah, that nigga shoot this.
He's very hectic.
Yeah.
Dog, I've never seen K. Malaji change his profile picture, bro. And that
Malaji and the Tubbs changed their profile picture.
Did you say?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's like the greatest thing I've seen, bro. Shout out to that name.
Nah.
And it was pure love for the album, you know?
Yeah. Everybody loves it.
Everyone loves that album.
Nah. Would you say the same reaction was had for, like, Tattoo Soul's Members Only?
Yeah.
Because, like, Members Only got, like, quite a big reaction.
I feel like it's been a process.
Mm-hmm.
Like from last year when Miles started dropping.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Everybody that drops from that group of friends,
yeah, from that rappers, squad.
Yeah, now gets more attention. Like each drop. It's but, like calling to effort.
Yeah. For me. Mm-hmm. But dare I say, like, even like that lockdown number five, because you're right, lockdown number five, whatever drops, it got support, bro.
Yeah.
It got like there was a time when I think the Miles drop you mentioned. What's the name of the tape? The album.
Studio Arrival.
Yeah, with Tanda, like, yo, the album was fire.
Yeah.
And, like, everyone's profile pic. Didn't the nigga get to, like, top something?
Yeah.
I think he broke top 10, like, in terms of Apple Music charting.
So yeah, the love like was crazy.
That project changed a lot of things for PTS.
Yeah.
Support for Pretoria, yeah.
It's crazy how it all just happened at the same time for PTA rappers, like, just moving away from, like, one specific group. Like a lot of PTA raps, because you also had like the 25K and Maglera album. Right. Is that around lockdown too? Yeah.
Drop 80 gospel. But like the worst thing about all of this, we're getting so much good music, right? But these niggas are not performing the songs. You're not seeing them at shows, whatever. I think that would have made everything way bigger. Right?
It would have.
No, for sure.
It would have.
But I think like now, sort of what they've learned in terms of making music and releasing music online, that's gonna help them now that like things are slowly getting back to normal, you know. And getting into it, I just want to talk about Tattoo Soul's album, Members Only. Like, it dropped last year, December. I don't know about y'all niggas, but goddamn, that was probably one of the best hip-hop albums I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Ever.
Like, I have to say, ever.
10
like,
out of 10.
Bro. Yo.
That album is so solid, bro.
God.
That album is so solid. It got to a point where I couldn't even pick. Because I remember at first, 2005 was my song going into the album.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
Because it was the single. Yeah.
Also, when I went through the album, like when I was going through the album, I had like songs. I'm like, damn, this is my favorite song.
And then
next
time,
the next song, I'm like, oh shit, now.
No, this is my favorite.
Wait, this what? This is more fire. What? I think that nigga was on something, bro.
That nigga was crazy. I even saw like that post by A. Reese. It was giving him props for Pilly Politics and Passion. Because, fuck that.
What a song, though. I've never made such a seamless transition from vernac to English.
Exactly. No, you don't even know.
You don't even know.
This
language
has changed.
It's like, shit, this is English now. And just like, I mean, the pure content of the song is like, I don't care about any farmers dying, especially when they have my grandfather's crying.
Yeah. Like, Tattoo Soul spits some real
talking
shit.
About, bro.
Yeah, that song has so many RIPs, like.
Yeah. Now, the whole
everybody did.
We're having a conversation about it. Every single day you listen to the album, you're just like, damn, R.I.P. this nigga, R.I.P. Now we're lighting candles for everybody. What would you guys say are like your favorite songs at the moment?
From that album right now, Me Boss and 10K.
I'd have to give it to 10K, Pity Politics and Passion. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe 2005.
Yeah.
Oh, Your Don't Lie to Me also goes up.
Just say give me the new one.
And like, you know how begin, at the beginning of songs, you'll have like voice notes from these niggas.
Yeah.
And that's wisdom, right? One of them is like, you win niggas. What is this? It's like when niggas are lying, those niggas are onto something, you know? Don't give niggas the truth, bro.
Yeah.
Can't give niggas the truth.
That's a proper ode to the streets, bro. Yeah. And you can tell that niggas on the front line. Like I was telling you guys, this nigga, he's like a hood poet, bro. You know, you. Of all these niggas, he's the nigga who knew how to articulate the shit they went through.
Mm-hmm. Properly.
And you can see, like, you can hear that, bro. Yo, scary running through the grove with a knife. This nigga got.
This nigga came all the way to Hatfield to slap a nigga. all the way from here to Hatfield.
And that's why nobody said anything about it.
Yeah.
Because niggas know.
What you gonna say?
What you gonna say?
Because Tato's actually living all of this, dog. Yeah, I think that's scary, one thing, like, people don't realize that Tato's living this every day. You check his Instagram, he's posted it.
He's about that.
Plane dies, boy. Plane dies, boy.
No, but that's the thing, bro. I feel like that's what separates a lot of rappers. From
the best,
the wannabe rappers,
or
the rappers with quotation marks.
Can you like
niggas, niggas speak about what they living, bro.
Mm-hmm.
They speak about shit they going through every day. Every day he wakes up, he's in Pelly, he's seeing all the shit. He's playing dice, like he said. It's what he lives, so it's easier for him to say it. Other than rappers that are telling us about gold chains, about fast cars, they don't even have. I'm not gonna relate to that shit because I've never been in a 5 million car.
But I don't know. So do you relate to playing dice?
I relate to waking up and hustling,
mm-hmm.
and I relate to him talking about Hatfield.
Sure.
I relate to a lot of things, bro. Like,
I
think the one thing about it is like, you can't fake authenticity.
Yeah.
So it always comes through with the music, like you just said, with regards to different artists. That, how do I put it? If you're not trying to be a certain type of image that you aren't. You can really hear it in the music. Like,
mm-hmm.
you're talking about niggas rapping about gold chains that they don't have. When a rapper raps about a gold chain and they have it, you can hear it on my authenticity plays a huge role in this shit.
So you can see through the bullshit.
Mm.
Yeah.
You can always.
Some people can.
I think there's a hunger you can't mimic.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's a hunger you can't mimic if you haven't been through it. You know, there's that. There's just that thing, bro. Like, I take it back to the Mouse tape, Early Arrival, bro. There's just something in his voice in that tape, dude, that I can't explain, but there's just something there that's saying, this is mine, dude. I'm coming to get it, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you can even hear it with accomplished artists. You look at Drizzy. Look at Drizzy, people like Jay-Z. Right now, they're at that almost retrospective point of their career. Now they're looking back at the shit they've
mm-hmm.
done. But you go back to tapes like nothing was the same, and you can hear this nigga rapping as if like,
he has to
be coming for this shit, like, it's like either now or never, you know.
It's like Cole on the come up story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You can also hear that, nah, this nigga knows he has it. This nigga knows he's coming for this shit and it's gonna be his. But when you start doubting yourself, you can hear it in the voice.
You can hear it in your voice.
This guy's rapping, but hey man.
Your delivery.
You don't believe in yourself.
Sure,
how am I gonna believe in the
music?
Okay, so going back to Tato Soul, I don't know if you guys saw the 10K music video, but what do you guys think of that? Because like, it felt different to me.
Yeah.
I don't know, from like most of the music videos that I see, like not just in SA but in international music, like he was in the street, dog. Going back to authenticity, it felt like very authentic, and that's just the kind of rapper that Tato Soul is. Like,
facts.
And I think you mentioned earlier that, like, you know, he seemed like the kind of artist who, you know, when he's made his millions, he's never leaving Dow Street, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's always where the gang is. And, I can see that this nigga, he's gonna put his niggas on, bro. Like, this nigga's just about, you know what Drake says, all I care about is money in the city that I'm from, bro. That's so, bro. That nigga only cares about the city that he's from, bro.
Yeah. Now he's repping PTA, and I think, like, it's a really good time for, like, Pretoria right now.
Very.
It seems like a lot of musical talent is just on this crazy come up, not just speaking about rap music, but, like, we've got R&B singers at the moment. We already know what the other niggas are doing to the game. Like, it's insane. It's insane. Personally, I still think, like, Still Living, I don't know, like, this is a great intro.
Yeah,
and I just want to like speak about the production. I don't know who was on the production of this album.
Wasn't it? Some of it was YOLO Funny.
Okay.
Is it Beethoven?
Beethoven.
And YOLO Funny. That's his usual producer.
No, he made between 25k and thing and made Boss. I can't remember which one Beethoven did.
Yeah.
And then there's that bull man. Can't remember his name now. Biggest dude, man. He posts.
Oh, Fez something.
No. Yeah, that bull also worked a lot on some of the production on the album. But
Doshi,
I think,
on any other's production.
Doshi.
Yeah.
I don't think so. Mm-hmm. But yeah, throughout the whole thing, bro. I think that's also what plays such a huge role. Like when you look at Tato Soul, and then you look at all these other cats from PTA, that whole sticking with one producer that really knows your thing to bring that vision to life, that shit's important.
Yeah.
And
that shit's important.
Yeah. And I think the vernac part is also, it's important for the culture, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's important for the culture. You know, you see people blow up off of English, which is not a bad thing, but to see someone come through and speak your tongue, bro, and go somewhere with your tongue,
destroy
that's crazy, man.
You
that's
guys
crazy.
Feel like it's harder for niggas to blow up in SA rapping in English only, or is it easier?
Rapping in English only.
It's tricky.
Like, I remember AKA, I forgot the song he was doing.
I'm the one who made it cool for you guys to rap in English or something like that.
Yeah.
He said that also, but I'm going to say, he said something like, show me a rapper that went plat without a vernac.
Oh, without a vernac, right?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So do you guys feel like it's harder for niggas to rap in English only?
It's a tough one.
It's always weird
so
to say.
What language do the biggest rappers in South Africa rap in? English, no?
It has to be English. Because at the end of the day, not every single one of them, but most of them have like touched or like rapped in English to a degree.
But you see niggas like Sjava, who literally they just rap in there in Zulu. But
do we call Sjava a rapper?
Nah, for me, he's more of a singer, bro.
He's more of a singer.
But I think it goes back to the authenticity thing, bro.
Yeah.
Like, if you're not someone who speaks English on a daily or communicates in vernac on a daily, and you come here and rap in a language that you don't speak or communicate in on a daily, it'll always come across. Like, you can always hear that shit. Mm-hmm. Like, you have niggas that really rap fire raps in English, but when they deliver it, you can tell, oh, nah, man, this nigga's having problems here and here, because, of course, it's not what he speaks.
But like, we must come back also and think about how in South Africa and a lot of niggas don't really fuck with the English rap thing.
Facts.
Like, a lot of the South African market is not in city areas and shit.
Mm.
A lot of people are somewhere in the Eastern Cape or somewhere in Limpopo or whatever. And when they hear a nigga like Tato Soul, I'm in the hood right now, I'm driving a Bushesh or whatever, or I see another nigga driving a Bushesh that's made it in my hood or whatever, and that nigga speaking about that shit, obviously I'm gonna relate, and him speaking in a South African language gives him even a better advantage.
Yeah, I hear you, but I think what English does is that...
I think English, in a weird way, even though we're in South Africa, it still makes the music more accessible to everyone else. So it's like, in South Africa, you can speak like one main language, but then you're gonna understand English at the end of the day. Like, even if you're from the hood, you sort of understand English, you
can
know what
it
is.
Yeah.
Whereas like, if I'm, for example, in the Eastern Cape and I've only spoken Xhosa my whole life, it's gonna be a bit, I can see how it can be like a bit difficult to understand the niggas rapping in Spitori.
Mm.
So that's why I say like, it's sort of easier to blow up rapping in English in
and
that
I,
sense.
And I think with English, you also win the votes of the people whose voices count, you know what I mean? Like, if I like your album, who gives a shit, dude, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just new, like, but, you know, a marketing manager of Universal likes your take, but that's a different thing, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's one thing for the streets to accept you, that's very important for the streets to accept you, but I think to get to that next level, you have to, because ultimately, you know, I don't have anything against people who treat music like a business, because it's a business, you know? People say, you're not being true to yourself when you make music that's popular, you know what I mean? Right, niggas gotta eat, bro, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Rhymes aren't gonna feed me, you know what I mean? So I think, hey, bro, do what you gotta do, man. If you see English as that route, if you see doing a piano, hip-hop, hybrid as the route, if you see going to house as the route, to do what you gotta do, then do what you gotta do. We just feel so entitled to artists, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
This nigga's not his own person.
But I feel like everyone, when you make music, you're making music to be at the top, to be the best rapper possible. If you're not making music to be the best rapper possible, why are you making
music?
To be the best rapper possible, you must be, I don't know, you must make money, you must be popular. I don't know, why would you make music for 20 of your niggas to listen to?
Man, because you love it's music. Niggas like that. Because you love it. It's niggas like that, bro. Think about like very conscious rap artists that really just never even try to go mainstream.
Mm. But in their head, wouldn't you say
they do end up broke?
But in their head, don't you think they think they're the best?
Yeah, they do. Okay, now I get what you mean.
So you won't just do it if you don't think you have something to offer. You know what I mean?
So then I want to ask you guys: do you guys think like Tato Soul is a conscious rapper who can go mainstream, or do you think like he might stay at this level?
I think he can go mainstream.
You think
he can?
Mm. He has like, a pull.
If that album lands in the right person's hands, just off that tape alone, he can do
it. I don't think it'll happen with this tape, but I think like the next album, it will definitely happen. Because that's just the title that you know that Tato Soul is.
Yeah.
But like now, I say we jump into like Aries, Tomorrow's Tragedy. No, Today's Tragedy, Tomorrow's Memory, sorry.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of that album, as I've stated before.
Mm.
I think like a lot of the drama leading up to it was kind of like my favorite part. Because then, I don't know, it sort of just made the music better. Like, you appreciate it more. What are you guys' like favorite songs from the album or your favorite takeaways? Or like, what takeaways do you have?
I'm going to go back to what we were talking about now, about relatability. I feel like Reese went back and he saw what people want to listen to.
Okay.
I feel like a year ago, Reese wouldn't speak about people divorcing, family shit, speaking about his dad that passed away in heaven. He's letting people in. He's giving people music that they can relate to. Other than what... Okay, I'm not going to say the music he was making over the past 2 years was bad. But like from the time he left Ambitious until this project, he came back to like speaking more about himself, about his life, about his parents, his hand, everything. Just letting everyone know what's going on in his life. And I fucked with that.
But I feel like in a way he sort of had no choice. Because the music has always been like, you know, his best way to respond to these sort of things. And you know how quiet he was. Even when it was like that whole Superman of the Power debacle. Everybody like just talking about Reese. Like Reese was never talking. But like everybody was always talking about Reese, which is crazy. Dan, what's your takeaway from this
album? My takeaway from it, like, I don't know. The one thing about it, because I didn't listen to the project a lot of times. But the one thing about it is I love the beat selection. I feel like, I don't know if you worked with a different producer or anything like that. I like the fact that, I don't know, man. Because, man, you know I'm into, like, gully raps. Yeah. I love that shit. So, when I saw him, like, tap into that a bit, like, okay, this might be it. And, like, my favorite track off of this, actually, Todd. That Dichotomy track and Hibachi. Oh, my God.
Hibachi was a crazy track. Because that dude was spitting on that one, man.
And Mark 1535, just as an intro. My nigga.
You know that Mark 1535,
man. My nigga.
There's a bar. Let me look.
There's a bar, but also the whole song in itself, because I think it's a Bible verse.
Yeah.
Just look it up quick.
Also, I like how he's thinking about his dad on the song.
Mm.
So that's what I was talking about. Like from the first song, he's saying,
he's opening up.
Away, niggas, I'm giving you what you want. You wanted to know about me. You wanted me to rap about real shit. Here I am. I'm grown.
I mean, technically, he's always been rapping about this shit, but it felt different this time, is what you can say.
Yeah.
Mm. Armando, what was your takeaway from this album?
For me, what it really proved to me was this nigga's lyrical ability is something. Like, I remember telling a friend that, like, I think, honestly, Aries is at this point where I don't think there's a rapper on the planet. On the planet, who, if they were to go one-on-one, I would say Ken. Rinse Reese. I don't think so. I think you can give anyone a fight for
that statement had me kind of nervous.
The first part, got me shaked. You see, I was looking at
No. I think the niggas who can outright control. I don't think there's anyone who you'll say this is an obvious win. Reese, bro, the bar I was talking about was, yo, don't tell me I lost it now. Where he's like, I'm on my second J, but I ain't even getting high. 23, stressing like I'm 45, I'm mortified. And how Michael Jordan, the second Jordan was a come on, man.
The wordplay is crazy. I think that's the one thing he's been working on the most, his lyricism. Because like even if you listen to like those experimental drops before the album came out, you could hear like lyrically he was getting better.
The one thing about him that I really like is just how easy he makes it seem better. This nigga raps, that he raps, and it just comes with comes off very seamlessly. So what the thing you're talking about him probably having worked on his pen so much, comes through with that. Like, you can genuinely hear that when he's comfortable being amazing right now. Like, do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, dog, there's raps you hear and you're like, yo, this nigga was fighting. Reese is relaxed. Like, yeah. Mama, what's coming out?
He does it effortlessly.
That's what it's
almost like a tattoo song, bro.
Exactly.
I'm just imagining a song between those two guys, bro.
Boy. Yo. Boy. I feel like you could wake up Aries at like 1 a.m. and ask him to rap.
And
he sleep. I really love the approach he's taken towards just his career as a whole. Like, I like, personally, I'm a fan of the silent thing, you know, the silent thing.
Mm.
Only talk before music is about to drop, let the music do most of the thing. But you have to be accomplished to do that, you know. You can't just pretend that as any something. And niggas are just gonna think you just went quiet, you know what I mean? So I really like that approach because, like you said with Kendrick and Cole, you know, it gives you that, like, you value it so much more.
Mm-hmm.
You value, and literally, this nigga, like, with people like that, bro, these niggas, they exist in our heads, bro. Like, we're just talking about shit these niggas did way back, you know what I mean? They're in our heads, and it's, nah.
Okay, coming back to the English and rapping in Canada, do you guys think it was a good idea for Aries to just completely go and rap in English and stop
rapping?
I say it was. Look at what it's
for the international market.
For the international, at this point, I don't really see Aries trying to appeal to an international market or even a South African market. Like, he's at this point where he just wants to do what he does.
Yeah.
Doing it for his fans.
But the English thing, I can say people have been responding well to it, like in terms of Aries. And I say that because, like, you look at like Americans' reaction channel videos, they have like an easier time, you know, gravitating towards Aries because he raps. Mansa Musa, you
know. Something like that. There's something that's always reacting to SA shows.
That's the nigga I'm talking about.
These niggas are making money off of reactions.
Oh shit, that's to Guijos, man.
I saw the Guijo one shit.
Nah, I'm gonna start reacting to, like, I don't know,
American shit.
Nah, something like India or something.
Yeah, and you can blow
Indian music.
Yeah.
You can blow. But you know, with Reese, like you guys were saying, you know, I don't even know what his selling point is to me.
Yeah.
I'm probably his lyrical ability. It just works. Like, for example, the 5-year plan, that's probably one of my favorite songs in that tape. I can't relate to a single thing, right? Not a single thing in that song, but I just love the song so much, you know. It just works, dude. Like, there's no individual thing
to really put on Reese and say, like, this is why I thought
it's hard to pinpoint, though.
Mm.
But his fan base is hectic. His fan base, dog, what the fuck?
That's a cult, bro.
That's a cult, bro.
Yeah.
That's a cult. That guy could do what Kanye's doing right now.
Does he write? Does he write a lot of money, though? Does he make a lot of money?
That's my chat. I don't know.
I think so. But you obviously never know.
You never know. But I mean, he looks like he does, man.
He said, we pulled out the harness, he thought we were playing a prank. Oh boy.
There was one bar where he said, like, he's gaining weight, but that's because he's been eating. Like, I don't remember which song it was from.
Ibachi
steak. Ibachi steak, baby.
Nah, great album. And, like, I think his features for this one have been, like, his best feature selection, to be honest. Because, like, you've got J. Jody on, and then Ayanda Jada. Who are the standout features for you guys on that album?
Okay, Bello Salo for me.
Bello Salo. Like, a lot of
people. That's amazing, bro. Like, he took...
Facts.
I'm not going to say someone that wasn't known at all. Because Bello Salo already had
some...
You can call
him unknown because Aries fans and, like, the reaction to the album showed you that he's still relatively unknown.
Yeah.
But, like, after this album, it's like he's buzzing the
street. Yeah.
And that track, I mean, that's a heavy feature, you know, like...
The Stogie T one.
Bro, you know when someone like Stogie rips your shit, just know you're doing something, bro.
Yeah.
Mm.
When someone like Stogie acknowledges you as a dope rapper, I know that you're doing something.
You're nice with it.
And they were going bar for bar, guys. Like,
yeah, Stogie's not a kid.
Yeah,
yo, bro, Stogie, I don't even know what that nigga. Oh, that's not, but anyway, he's not a kid, and they were going bar for bar, for example.
For sure.
That's my chat. Like, I'm willing to say that I feel like Reese might have out that Stogie on that track.
Yeah.
A bit.
I mean, we can take a look at the lyrics quick and then see what's happening.
Yeah, I also think Reese came
with the heat.
Mm.
Now we can.
Let me go to it quick. But this has been like a fire album, like I said, man.
It's a great job that he dropped that freestyle on his Insta. That was just something else.
Who, Stogie or Reese? Reese, the like TV one. In the car, yeah.
I haven't seen it.
He's been pushing promo hard. That's one thing. You've seen an attitude change from him, sort of, you know, like going more silent, but then only speaking like when he needs to. And then like doing promo again. Like, it's got me excited for the actual album that's coming out. Because, like, one thing I tend to forget, and most people do tend to forget,
this is not an album.
It's just a mixtape. But then, like, the quality of it.
But, you know, from what you just said, you know what I don't like? How everybody expected Aries to get out of Ambitious and come out and have the best promo strategy.
Mm-hmm.
When he just came out of a record label at like 19 or 20, and he had people doing everything for him, like literally everything.
So he basically had to start from scratch.
Yeah, he knew nothing about promoting music. All he knew was going to studio, making the songs, and then everybody does everything else.
Yeah, because even before Ambitious picked him up, he wasn't really running. Yeah. He wasn't trying to do anything.
Yeah, so he had to leave everything and start from afresh with nothing, and that couldn't have been easy. So I think,
honestly, commendable shit, dog. A lot of niggas would have quit, dog.
Yeah, to get where he is now from when he left Ambition, I think that's crazy. I don't think a lot of people could do that. Du Bois couldn't do it after he left Mawala Noise.
shout out to Du Bois. He's stationed in Pretoria.
Yeah, shout out to him.
Oh, he's a PTA rapper.
What? Now he is.
He's a headphone.
So we have to love him now.
Yeah.
Hey, man. Yeah. Shout out Du Bois.
Shout out Du Bois.
But like, also, you can also look at Benchmark. They left Ambitious. They couldn't do that. Fifi Cooper, I don't think anyone could do that.
Oh, on the Benchmark chat, that track that they shot here, bro.
Yeah.
Bang, that Reese chorus.
Yeah, yo.
Clean video.
Clean, dog.
I was watching that video and I was like, no. This place looks familiar, right?
Yeah. And I think that's a theme that needs to like reoccur more and more, like with Pretoria rappers, like show off the street, man.
Show off the street.
When did they record that, bro? How are niggas not
How are niggas not around?
Like, how did niggas not just hop around the call? Unless they came at like 2-3 off the curfew.
Probably. But I'm looking at these lyrics, niggas. And
you feel like Stogie took it.
Yeah! I really feel like Stogie took it. But like, I don't know. I just heard something different when Reese was rapping. But I feel like Stogie took it. Like, just looking at it from like, you know, a literal sense.
Yeah.
The wordplay is there. Because you have like Stogie T rapping, and where's this one? It's the GOAT and the Aries ram locking horns, like a movie where we do the shit, Ethan and Joel. I don't know what the Ethan and Joel part is or what it means, but I can trust that. With the minute I look it up.
When you look at him, Stogie's that nigga.
Ethan and what?
Ethan and Joel.
And Joel.
Looking into it, like I think it might be.
Wait, whoa! So the star sign of an Aries is a thing.
It's a go.
It's a go.
Ethan and Joel Coen are brothers. They refer to as the Coen brothers.
The Coen brothers. They make movies. They directors.
So what is the box?
It's like a movie when we do the shit, Ethan and Joel.
Okay.
So like, there's a lot of bars. But like, there's a lot of buzz throughout this song, but then also throughout this tape.
Yeah.
So I think like we can appreciate like
very solid.
It was like the most authentic Aries project
thus far.
So you never know who's gonna join us here on Streets Are Done. You know, we got the man Sha Dumisa in the building. He just came through, and we were chatting about Aries.
Yeah.
My dog, what you gotta say about this album or this mixtape as we firmly established it?
Yeah. I really like Morning Peace. Especially because of him and how he made the beat. So it made sense that he let it breathe.
Wait, so Mash wasn't on it? Because I thought like Mash produced
To my knowledge.
That was all Aries.
To my knowledge.
For that song. Yeah, because Jody said it. I don't know about the other songs. But that song.
I didn't even know Aries could produce, dog. That's insane.
He's
really taking like his artistry to a whole other level
now. Yeah, that's why I really appreciate this shit. Artists who go fully in.
How important do you guys think it is for rappers to know how to produce? Like, do you think they shape everything better when they know what's going on? Whatever.
Like, you don't necessarily have to make the beat, but I think you benefit more from like knowing how everything works. Because like, it's something 40 even mentioned, that Drake is always involved
in like the whole process of making the song. Like, yeah, he even selects, yeah, the samples that he wants for his beats, and he wants like this to be slowed down and that to be slowed down. So, yeah, not saying you have to like be an engineer, but at least understand what's going on with the music so that you can have like a full grasp on it. That's my opinion.
Facts. And it definitely, like, one thing about it, knowing how to do that shit also kind of helps bring a vision you have in mind to life.
Mm.
If you think about, yeah, like literally that, like if you're not good at, say, painting, for example, yeah, but you know what you want to paint, but you're a shit painter, that thing's never gonna come out right. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna use that dreaded guy that paints, yeah, people. He's shit, like, look, he's shit. And it's literally that. It's about bringing what you've envisioned to life, and if you know how to use the tools that you have properly, you're more likely to reach that goal.
Yeah, but with what Max just said, you don't have to know whatever, but you have to know what's going on.
Mm.
And at least, like, understand how everything's, like...
With, oh, yeah, at example, least understand.
With these examples, I can tell Armando, for example, to paint something for me. And I can tell him exactly how I want it.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's never going to come out how I want.
Yeah,
that shit to come out.
Exactly.
So when you know how to do it yourself, I feel like that puts you way over everyone else. Because you know how you want it exactly, and you want to do it exactly like that.
But I think also, you know what... Dalu mentioned it when we were all for a bit, where he's like, take the help that you get.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're people who are experts in the field, bro.
Yeah.
So right. I feel like there's this artists now want to own their whole value chain, like from the beat up until the master at the end, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they're people who are experts in those things, bro. Like, niggas who, as much as you love rapping, that nigga committed his life to producing.
Yeah.
So that nigga's a 10 out of 10 of the producer who, and you're a 10 out of 10 as a rapper, let's make a 20 out of 10 song. But now, if me as an artist, I'm a 10 out of 10, why am I gonna settle for my own beat when I know I'm a 6 out of 10 producer,
yeah,
you know what I mean? I have, because as much as I wanna produce, I don't know producing to the level that you demoted, but I know there's certain packs that people have, there's certain things that
yeah,
you as a beginner might not just have on Fruity Loops starting on your own laptop. Mm. Eh? Like, these niggas have
plugin.
Yeah, you get a basement of studios, you know what I mean? Like,
facts.
Take the help, you know what I mean? But like Mona said, no, you know, sort of like how, you know, you have a nigga doing your books, as in like, who does your accounting, but know a bit of accounting yourself, so that you can see if this nigga rips you off, you know, how one day, you know what I mean?
Okay, so that brings me to this, like, now I want to ask, after hearing Morning Peace then, would you guys, like, hope for more Aries-produced joints in future projects?
I'd say yeah.
You say yeah?
Yeah.
I'd say yeah.
But you don't sound that enthusiastic.
I don't know, bro. But either way, I think he's gonna do it. I think it's a good idea to make your own beats.
Cause like now, apparently, like word on the street, he's part of his ways with Mash. So it's like we don't really know which direction he's gonna take the music, like beats wise.
Yeah.
From now on, is he gonna find like another stable producer?
Mm.
Or
what happened there between them?
Nobody knows. No. They just start following each other, and then rumors were the album was delayed, but then it still dropped like what, like a day later, day or two later. That's what happened. But I think moving on, like, I'm excited to see like what Aries is gonna do with different producers, or if he's just gonna like find another mainstay producer, or like just produce everything himself. And now I feel like it's time to jump to the final album of this podcast.
Dulce.
That Dulce. Is it Dulce?
Is it Dulce? Dulce. How do you
pronounce it? Dulce. No, I don't know. I'm just don't take my word.
I don't know how to pronounce it, but that's Tyson ST's new album. And I gotta say, like, I wasn't expecting this, dog.
I have a story for you.
Oh, tell, share your story, my G.
One of my boys, he's big on like him, right? One of my boys, he's big on him. So, like, whenever I'm in studio, this nigga will just play his stuff, and I'll be like, "Damn, who is this?" You know, he would be like, "It's Tyson," and he would keep doing it. Like, and I would, like, each time, I would listen and be like, "Who is this? It's Tyson." I'm like, "Nah, this nigga's hot," but I knew he was certified after I heard Jiggle.
Jiggle by DJ Enzo.
Yo, I was like, "Oh my gosh, dog."
Yeah,
that shit is hot.
Yeah. So that brought you to the album.
Literally, it was the guiding thing to the album. Without that song, I don't think I would even, like, obviously, I would have heard it because he was still pushing it, but I don't think I would. I respected him a lot after Jiggle because I didn't know who he was before Jiggle. And then Jiggle hit, and then when he kept when my nigga kept playing it in the studio, I was like, who is this? And then you tell me it's Tyson, and then I'm like, oh, makes sense. I could hear it from Jay.
Oh, yeah, because he has a distinct voice, dog. Yeah. Like, you know what Tyson is, he's all year, or like When You Will, for those who haven't heard it yet.
Mm.
I think Doucet is probably his best work so far.
Definitely.
Because you can never tell, like, Snake's Favor Me, I was like, okay, this is a great EP. I'm like, the songs from Snake's Favor Me that have been included
in this album.
And like, they really tie in well with the new songs. That's one thing I really appreciate. So what is like your guys' takeaways or like favorite songs from this album?
Me personally, I think it's my second favorite. Okay, my second favorite tape.
From him?
From Tyson. I think for me, the Tyson and Tato Soul collab at your service was just
speaking on Tato Soul, god damn it, that project.
He just missed the whole
I'm sorry, guys.
Get your piece out.
Penny politics and passion.
My nigga.
I don't know what he's saying, I'm Zulu, but I can feel it.
That's exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah, but like one thing about this thing, Tyson tape is like, for me, prior to this, I was listening to like some of his projects and singles and stuff, but like I didn't sense any urgency towards making something cohesive from him.
Mm-hmm.
And then with this one, like it flows really well and everything. And of course, Nate.
Yo, Nate. I feel like we
could have a... This is for the women. What a banger, dog.
I don't know if it's a controversial opinion, but I think technically, he's probably... I'd put him top three in Pretoria.
Fair.
Technically, like in terms of technical ability. Exactly. I'm talking cadence. I'm talking ability to find space in beats. I'm talking ability to... Right, the beat could be going left, this nigga's going right, but it sounds on beat, dude, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he just finds pockets, he just finds gaps. Like, niggas wouldn't rap over that part of the beat, but he's rapping over that part of the beat. And he has this way of almost manipulating instrumentals as well, to almost sound like, I don't know, Offset does it as well, where Offset's voice almost sounds like the beat. An instrument.
Yeah.
It sounds like something on top of the beat, like an instrument on top of the beat, and Tyson has that.
Also, like you say, talking about cadence and stuff. One thing about you said he has a very distinct voice.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think adds to the whole him adding using his voice as like the lost instrument on the beat.
Yeah.
Yeah, that texture and just I don't know, man. This nigga is really dope, but I feel like to an extent he's really dope, but he downplays it so much.
Downplays it.
Like I don't know how to explain it. I don't know how to like articulate exactly what I'm trying to say. Like when you think about, let's say Tato Soul, yeah. When you hear Tato Soul, from the jump you can tell, oh yo, now we're rapping.
Yeah.
Mm. But with Tyson Dog, like, it almost catches you off guard every time, bro. It's just like shit. All the time.
For me, that guy's like an acquired taste, bro.
The first
time you listen to him, like Kendrick and all those niggas that rap. Mm. First time you listen to him, you listen to me like that. This is a nice song.
Yeah.
It's a nice song.
After a week, you listen again. Like, damn, this guy saved us. Let me run that back. Then you listen again. Every time you listen, you keep on finding some new shit, whatever. So I feel like he's going to be here for a long time.
Man, the bars will like, talk later.
Yeah, we're going to be there 2 years later. And you listen to the album. And you're going to hear something you never heard before. So every time I listen to him, even if it's a song I listened to before, I feel I still get something new that I can be mind blown.
Yeah.
Like, damn, that's crazy. Yeah, I didn't get that the first time.
Fair. Yeah, so what you're basically saying is that he grows on you.
Yeah.
He's an artist that grows on you.
And he's layered.
And he knows how to rap, bro. 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
He's a great rap.
I just appreciate like how much better he's gotten in terms of making music. Because like we knew he could rap before, but like it's exactly everything you guys have been speaking about right now. The fact that he's using his voice better, he knows which pockets to like attack
and
now.
He's singing.
That's the best part.
And his voice, he has a very good singing rap voice. He's almost like 50 Cent.
Yeah.
Those niggas can't sing, but they can sing.
Yeah.
You know?
But also the cover art niggas.
Yo.
He took it to like, I don't know, 2000 niggas in the rain.
Looking in the distance,
yeah,
my boy.
That was pretty smart.
Thanks. Facts. Another thing, like one thing I wanted to ask you, gents. Now, do you want to hear a him and Miles kind of tape.
I would be so down for that.
Yeah. Do you think that bad tape?
I think they have enough music together now, like in terms of everything that's out, to you could put together a tape essentially. Mm. So I think like a tape from them would be really good.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No,
I you don't know.
For me, and obviously because it's them, it's gonna be dope. As artists, like the two of them, if they go on a joint tape, I think it could be tricky because now it's easy as the market to compare them.
Oh, so them not being in the same space kind of makes it more interesting.
Okay.
And I get that. That makes sense.
When they camp.
It's the J. Cole Kendrick thing.
And they're on the same camp, you're right. Yeah. Now when you bring them together,
so it's like,
you can compare now.
Yeah.
And it's going to be actually, a loser.
And then someone always loses.
Like, yeah. It's just the nature of the game.
But people are already comparing, like.
Yeah.
But so imagine how much with the tape now.
Yeah.
It's going to be way easier to compare.
It's like, imagine if Boys and Bugs drop the tape together.
You. I still want that tape.
Hold on. We're all crying about Mokuku had been the best rapper in South Africa right now. Oh, if that had happened, I swear.
You don't think Ricky would have bought it?
No.
Barhu.
Kulkat was going to wash everyone down.
Yo.
Gadi. Nah, the guy electric. Is different.
Yeah, I'm not like, at my thing with this tape, another thing is what I really appreciated is just, he had features, man. Of course he had features, and a lot of them are like,
and this gang feature.
Yeah, it's people you kind of expect,
yeah.
But it's such a great look from my side because I feel like the reason I say it's people you expect from him is
because it's like people that they
people
yeah,
he runs with.
Works with.
Yeah,
runs
it's
with.
People he runs with Vele. But like on top of that, I feel like that stable or those niggas. They're not a stable, bro.
Yeah.
That group of people moving like that is really, really dope to see because it reminds me of that whole thing and that semi-renaissance thing that happened in Chicago with Bosaba and Mick Jenkins, mm-hmm. No Name. It's moving as a town or as an area, just constantly supporting each other. Because if you look at those people that I just mentioned, like Saba wasn't popping.
Yeah.
He wasn't popping. Chance caught a lot of heat around that time. Vic caught a lot of heat, but now you see it kind of evolve. Like Saba's catching more heat now.
Place them all at the same level now, basically.
It also pushes like the longevity chat.
And you know what? And when you do it like that, you take a lot of pressure off of yourself now, because now I don't need to now release my own tape to stay relevant. But almost when Dalu eats, I'm eating now.
Yeah.
So let's say I drop a tape. January, Dalu drops a tape in June, but I featured thrice on Dalu's tape.
Mm-hmm.
I may as well have that can count as my tape, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Okay, can't count as my tape, but you get what I mean? Like, I'm feeding my fans with the work of that tape. Now, the pressure's off me, and I can maybe only release again next year or later on in that year. And I feel like they've got their rollout, they've planned it, bruh.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they know what's happening 2 albums in advance, even if the music's not there,
mm-hmm.
they know when it is, where it is.
So, like, speaking to PTA rappers or PTA East rappers, because, like, that's the collective we're essentially talking about, do you think, like, it'll be beneficial for them to keep moving, like, this way?
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like as long as they all stay as hungry as they are right now and they don't get fed up by the whole thing, because keeping people that are like that, that are kind of pessimistic about pushing or kind of, I don't know, that kind of capitulated about their own situation wouldn't benefit them. So if they all stay as hungry, they could push. But if niggas start acting funny and start losing steam, they should probably
that's
just
the problem. I feel like once,
set up.
Once people start blowing up, because not everyone is going to blow up at the same time. Once someone starts blowing up and someone is not doing so well,
that's what
clashing left behind or whatever. That's what always happens with groups.
Yeah.
Facts.
But I hope they stay together.
You know what? I feel like when you're moving as a cohort, I feel like sometimes, I mean, I just think, in my head, I just think, don't you ever feel like maybe your best music is behind you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe the best shit you, maybe you really dropped the best shit you'll ever drop.
Yeah.
But it just hasn't been in the ears of niggas who...
Your best art comes from where you come from. And if you came with these people, who the fuck are you to go carry on there and not go back to who you... Because that's what made your music.
Yeah.
It's the environment that you're in with those people, the people you're coming at, they were teaching you things, you were teaching them things.
It's how life is, bro. Kanye and Jay-Z are not making music together anymore.
Mm. So what, but if you make different. It, what if you make it and you're just like, you're in the studio and you're like, bro, I can't make shit like I did back then, dude.
Yeah.
Like, I can't replicate being in DC, calling you niggas up. You know what I mean? And it's
crazy. Just make music about what you know, what you see on the daily. Because in a sense, that again is just taking it back to where you come from.
Because
like where you are now is essentially where you're gonna come from in the future. I don't know if I make sense.
But I also feel like the story is finished, my boy.
You run out of stories.
When you're 4 albums deep, boy.
Now you have 2 side missions.
But that's the thing. We're talking about like someone who's on the come up. Tyson is on the come up. He's not there yet. And like, I don't know. Do you guys think Tyson will eventually break through?
Sure. Like, bro, like, one thing you have to understand about these niggas is that as much as you might call them, okay, cool, they are come-up artists and whatever.
I know they hate being called that.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, sorry for that.
Now, one thing you have to appreciate about these niggas is that, like, they also chart, dog. Like, Tato Soul was number one thing on 5FM Stir Up for a while, dog. And this was before he dropped. Tyson has made it on there. Miles Tanda was on there. Like, it's one of those things. These bros, as much as they are come up artists, I feel like calling them that kind of takes away from how serious they are as bros.
Mm.
I wanted to say, in between this, Francis J, I feel like that nigga's a cheat code.
I've never heard of that song that features Francis J.
Then what you just said is like, right, you're charting on 5FM, you're doing, niggas know your music, you're just like, what more, dude? Like, what more does it take, you know? Like, my niggas want, like, those who know, bro.
Yeah.
Those who know. And it's like, bro, what more can you do, dude?
Then it comes back to the business side.
Do you think you need a label? Is that why a label is so important?
Mm. Not necessarily a label, but someone that knows, bro. You need someone that knows what's going on in the game. Like, going into the game, you can drop the most fire song. But if you don't have anyone that's going to take you to MTV base and then you chill with the station manager, whatever, nothing's going to happen, bro. If no one is booking you, whatever, nothing's going to happen. But I like how Dushi's playing at Homecoming tomorrow. That's big. Niggas starting to do shows, whatever. That's crazy.
Beats is crazy. With the streaming age now really starting to pick up its feet, what do you guys think is going to be the movement on? MTV base obviously is going to be relevant, but is it going to be as relevant in the next 7 years?
You know what? With the streaming age, I feel like what has happened is that people don't really sit with albums anymore. I feel like as a consumer, the culture now is to keep up to date. So you're always trying to keep up to date with. And the thing is, music is coming to you at such a fast rate. I mean, I think about back in the CD days, bro. Bro, you bought this guy's CD. That was the CD you have. It's the one at home.
For the next 2-3 months.
You're playing that shit. It's the one at home now. But now,
it's 20 songs every day.
Yeah.
New songs, 50 new songs.
But now, if so many artists of such high caliber are dropping so often, it's hard to sit with anyone's tape, bro. Like, it's hard for me to sit with Mang Mang's tape when Drake is dropping a 2-part thing next week Friday, you know?
And obviously, if it's like not necessarily Drake, but like a bigger drop, you're gonna go to that one. This one's gonna lose attention. So now I'm gonna ask you, how long did you guys like sit with these albums for, the specific ones we discussed today? So Aries, Tyson, and Tato Soul.
I still have Tato Soul's album.
Yeah.
Tato Soul I sat with for time because of the December holidays.
Yeah.
Aries, I didn't. My life was just harder than the 80s. Like, school was just harder than the 80s. So I didn't really. And the Tyson one is new, so I'm still gonna have to. So.
Tato Soul definitely lived with that thing, bro. I remember the was it a Thursday drop or a Friday drop?
For Tyson?
For Tato Soul.
For Tato Soul, I think it was a Friday drop.
Yeah, it was a Friday drop. So that night, like, in the AM, as I was about to sleep, it had just dropped. I was literally about to sleep, and then something in me was like, nah, dog, just listen to the first 2 songs. Then, of course, 10K's, is it me? 10K's the second song, man. Yeah. Sharp intro, hectic. 10K, I don't know how many times I played that album over and over again that day.
And that's the thing with like Tata's album. Yeah. Like you have to listen to the whole thing as a full body of work, because it takes away from the whole experience if you just listen to every single
Can I just go watch it now? Tata So, I like his brand, what he represents. He's who he's authentic to the South African story.
Facts.
Whereas a lot of rappers, especially our predecessors, they had a tendency to try and Americanize things and try and like tell an American party kind of vibe, like it's always, but we never really, really spoke about like our deep shit. Casper tried to do it at times, but for me, it just didn't hit as hard. It hits.
But then can I ask you niggas, like, do you think artists, because I'm just thinking back to what Shah said, and I'm thinking back to that, Lil Wayne has an interview where they're saying, hey, were they kids who look up to you, whatever, how you rapping about this stuff. Like, I didn't tell those kids to look up to me. But anyway, do you think artists have a responsibility to be, not role models necessarily. So like, do you have a problem when someone comes and glamorizes the hood life, glamorizes the hood life.
I never think of it as glamorizing.
It's
like,
it's documenting the truth. Like, this is my surrounding. What must I do? Must I just be like, okay, I can't show you this, so let me just show you the nice stuff.
Yeah.
Fuck that, be real. It's like, Giseka. I'm sorry, I'm passionate about it. Like, I'm a gussy bean. So it's like, Gisekas. Like, say, Lova Wangala. Like, tell the true story. Mm. Don't try to brush it.
Do you get mad when non-gussy niggas now claim your struggle? When non-gussy niggas come and claim, I was selling drugs, I was doing this, I was there.
Dude.
When my man was in St. John's Prep from grade R until mature, you know what I mean?
For me, I haven't necessarily bumped into like too many of those, so I'm fortunate that aspect. But even me, it's like, I'm from the 4275, and it's just so weird. It's like a small town, you know, those small towns.
Yeah.
But literally, there's a bridge. Fortunately, my parents worked hard enough to get a house on this side of the bridge. And this other side is where all me, like where I'm usually at with all my niggas. Like, that's the heavy ass shit. But beyond that, Simlazi, that's like the fam. I have to go there. Like, how often? It's like, Enanda. Like, so. If at the point that I'm trying to get to is that if you did go to St. John's, it's fine. But be true to your story. If you're a rich boy, like,
dog. Be a rich boy in your rap.
Yeah, dog. But if you do have certain experiences, speak on them. But
I feel like,
just know that if it's not authentic, we will pick it up.
I trust you. I want to ask you something. What would you say about like someone having a gimmick, though? What if it came off well?
Like, you know how Rick Ross was a correctional officer. My nigga probably never saw it,
Okay, in that aspect, in Rick Ross's situation, because dog, who's gonna talk to Rick Ross? Who's gonna fuck?
Yeah, he did it real well.
Yeah.
Like, he's good at being fake. He's amazing. He's a good fake.
But I take a 6ix9ine. As a hustler, I respect him. But as a human being and as a rapper, I'm like, come on, bro. You know? So it's like one of those things. So gimmicks, like 6ix9ines, I don't fucks with. But if you're gonna give me a Rick Ross, it's weird. It's not. It could be true, actually, dog. Maybe he just doesn't speak on it. Maybe he was a correctional officer.
He was, dog.
Yeah.
Rick Ross even had said,
it was in his autobiography where he said he basically just raps about the stories he was told.
Oh.
And that he didn't really
so know. He. But was that his environment? He's like, or was it just like someone got arrested and then.
I'm sure he speaks to the niggas
yeah.
who.
Yeah.
Oh, nah, fuck. I can't view him the same no more, dog.
But he does it perfectly, bro.
Yeah, I think
it does that thing of, honestly, struggles are they give your raps so much more depth, bro.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I look at drop people like Benny the Butcher, people like Pusha T, you know, like that kind of rap, bro. Like, when there's something, and I feel that's where why people claim struggles, because they're people who have lived pretty ordinary lives.
Mm.
And when you think, I mean, they're people who are in the middle. I haven't lived a hard life, but I'm also not rich to the point where I can rap about gold chains. What am I supposed to rap about? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Everyday life.
You know what I mean? That's how everyday life is not even that interesting.
Yeah. So in short, what we basically covered is that real resonates.
Real resonates.
And that's a theme I can say is shared throughout like all these past three albums. Yeah. You know, like Aries, definitely, we talked about this being probably authentic. one of his best works, and like it's already like authentic. Then we've got Tato Soul, amazing 10 out of 10 album. And again, it's because like he's telling a story, he's adding, he's giving us that depth, you know. And then obviously like Tyson, he's just a whole other case himself. Amazing rapper. His stories also have depth. I don't really know much about like whether he's lived the stuff he raps about, but from hearing it, I believe it. I believe every single word. And I feel like
with Tyson.
Like you can believe every single word he says about, you know, his daily life, what he's doing. And like, you know, RIP to Zippo and all them other niggas. I didn't remember their name. On the album, he raps about like, you know, the homies he's lost.
I feel like what we can agree on is that Tyson is a 10 out of 10 rap.
Yes.
He's a good rap. Mm-hmm. We all agree, right?
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Nobody's fighting that.
Nobody's fighting today. He's making sure. We'll fight on the next part. But like, you know, this is just closing it off. Streets are done. Aries Online. Make sure you catch the next podcast. It's me, Marcus Aries, signing out. Niggas, sign out.
Cheers.
What it do, what it does, what it did.
Streets is done.